Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of We Should Have Recorded That with Phil and
Adam.
Hey, Adam, how's it going?
I am actually really good, Phil. I shouldn't sound surprised about that, but, you know, it's been... God is good. It's been a rough few weeks, but God is good, and I am learning to trust him. I'm learning that there is just that although the list of things to do is overwhelming, somehow, by God's grace, they will get done.
Amen. You know, I was talking to the church secretary at my church today, and maybe it was earlier this week, maybe on Monday, and she was just saying how, you know, all of these things are happening, and they have not really happened for almost 2 years now, and so it is really, those muscles have atrophied, and so now it's like we got to get back into the habit of being busy.
All the extras are back. Exactly.
Yes. So yeah. So you know, it's a good day. We have a guest here.
It is a good day.
It's a good day. If you're watching, you can see this person. I won't reveal them just yet. You see my non-gendered pronouns?
Yes.
You hear my non. Well, okay. But before we
isn't a pronoun.
Okay. But yes, I said them.
Oh, them. They. Them is a pronoun. Yeah, you got it.
Yes.
You got it.
Okay.
We have not seen individual.
Before we get into our interview today, I do want to ask and remind you to interact with us. People, you know, we came back. We're here. We never left, but we did. We were still together, even though we wasn't. And so, please... that was all off the dome. But please check us out and interact. I think we're gonna have some pretty exciting conversations coming up, and including today.
Including today.
So without further ado, let me please welcome Sandra Godwin.
Hello.
Hello, Sandra. Welcome.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're so glad to have you on.
Thanks for having me on.
You know what? I don't have a bio, but I'm just going to do this off the dome if I could, just really quick. Mm-hmm. All right. I know Sandra. We were, I guess colleagues is the right term at Roberts Wesleyan College. You came like 2 years or so, like you had, I had 2 years left in school when you became a freshman there, and we sung in the chorale. You studied music, were a performance major, I believe.
Yeah.
But jazz singer, I mean, bad, if you understand what I'm saying, bad. Opera singer.
I don't understand.
You don't understand. Very bad.
Is this the lingo of the youth? Is this like,
yeah,
like,
no, this is throwback though. This
throwback?
Is like, this is only like this is for
just saying that she was bad when you meant that she was good. Is that like before you were like, oh, that was sick?
Right, yes, or lit.
Lit!
Maybe, and lit,
Sandra,
it even knows
you are
to,
so
yes.
Lit.
But, and also a conductor, which I have not had the chance to see live, but I've saw videos and pictures of that, so I look forward to hearing about that. And you came to Rochester by way by way of New York from India, from the country India. And so welcome again, Sandra. It is so great to have you on. And this is like our first time chatting like face to face virtually in a while.
Oh, yeah.
So it's nice to catch up.
Oh, thank you. Those are all kind words. Thank you.
No, it's true. It's true.
Yes, Sandra, you were such a bad singer.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sandra, open-ended question. Would you tell us your story from youth and family and early musical opportunities through coming to the United States? I mean, really, this could just be the only question we ask tonight. We want to just hear your story.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Cool. Are you ready?
We're so ready.
Okay.
I got my popcorn.
I got my Starbucks because this is my way of saying I'm in America.
You don't have Starbucks in India?
It's so expensive. You don't get Starbucks unless you are bougie. In India. I feel like it's the same thing.
I'm about to say, I think, you know, yeah.
The rest of us get Dunkin'.
Or McDonald's. Like a small cup of coffee at McDonald's is just over $1. That, you know?
McDonald's is good. Okay. Let's start from the beginning. So there was God and God created Earth, you know, all that fun stuff. And.
Oh, wow. We are really going back. Okay.
I was fortunate to be born into a family that is musically inclined and have supported me since I was a child. Since I was a tot, like maybe 1 year old, I started singing and just randomly, you know, singing in the morning. In our house, it was tradition that we have something called family prayer every morning. And so we'll sing a couple of hymns and we'll read, we'll have to memorize a chapter from the Bible, or at least verses from the Bible, or my dad would speak on subject that they talked about at church. And so it was a tradition that we sang, talked about God, and then we closed it with the Lord's Prayer, and then we sang again. And I used to make up songs because that was the thing to do, apparently. I was a diva back then, and I, you know, so had to had to prove it then.
Some things never change.
They don't. So my earliest recollection of me singing was when I was 4 years old. And I can remember bits of it, but then I also saw a video of it. So I guess it sparked some memory from it. I was asked to be a flower girl, which I was the flower girl back then. All those weddings, you're welcome, people. So, and one of them had asked me to, the family asked me to sing because they knew I could sing. And this person, she was a big leader, a ministry leader in Chennai, which is where I'm from. And so her daughter's wedding, there were about 20,000 people. No, 2,000. The 20,000 was afterwards. 2,000 people at their wedding, because that's just how many people attend Indian weddings. It's around, 1,000, 2,000. Yeah, there's a lot of people. So gotta have food for them. Wow. So, and that was the first time I'd sung, and I do remember the things I remember was throwing the flower away and probably annoying my mom a bunch of times before I had to actually sing, because I was very naughty and I didn't really listen to it half the time until it came to the time I was on stage. And my mom thought this was not going to happen because I was not paying attention to her. And that the song I sang was, "Oh, Let the Son of God Enfold You." Mm-hmm. And that was my first song. But I think there's just, that was the moment I realized I just like being on stage, not for the, I know there's, you are giving to the people and there's an aspect of like, it's for them. But for personally, I think there's also something you gain when you are performing on stage, especially when it comes to singing for God. I think there is a connection, and this, it's like, it really just feels like you're on that stage and you're not bothered of the people about who's listening, what's happening. So that was my first, I guess, my debut as a singer. Following that, I I sang, we did a couple of recordings, and I did a lot of TV gigs with children, like a children's choir. Everything I did was by ear, though. I didn't get any formal training at all until I came to Robert. So I would just go on YouTube and we'd listen to songs. I was able to hear harmonies for the longest time. So in fact, when people ask me, how do you hear harmonies? I'm like, I don't know, I just hear them. So I got that kind of developed that because I kept listening and listening. And my dad is really old, according to me. And he would, I mean, he had a lot of Bee Gees and the Beatles and Engelbert Humperdinck and Jim Reeves, because he's also a country person, I kid you not. And so I had a lot of, and then ABBA, and I actually rarely listened to music of my time until later on. So I got a lot of influence from him. And then when it came to, I think I my the first time I stepped foot into a choir was when I think that's the social aspect of it stepped into. I was at a choir called Crotches and Quavers. And I think I joined when I was about, it was eight, nine. And it was just a bunch of young kids singing songs. I had a solo, and I will never forget that song. And it's How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? Woof, woof.
Yes, a profound piece of choral
Oh,
literature.
yes. It was my favorite one. They loved it. And it grew on from that. And at one point, the funny thing is, I think everyone thought I would. They were trying to understand my voice because I was very poppy. I was very pop sounding. In fact, when she asked us to sing solo rap, I sang Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus because that was the song. And it just, I was going into this the pop dire the direction of pop music, especially because I didn't have any training. And I felt like I couldn't get that kind of training in India. It's not popular to get a Western classical training. I feel like you kind of have to have money for that. And my parents, we didn't really have money for that. So, and popular music does give me more gigs than anything else, which is kind of, that's a whole topic for another day. But so I sang, I don't know, I sang Titanium by Sia, and people loved it. And I did a lot of wedding gigs from a young age too. And then when I won competitions, I opened up for Don Moen, if you don't know who Don Moen is. And that was like the largest crowd ever, and it was 20,000. That is where the 20,000 crowd comes in. The first time I opened for him, I was part of a rock, heavy rock band, heavy rock metal. So I sang rock music, tried to at least. And it kept going on until I turned, and then I think 3 years before I turned 15, I started switching my focus into jazz because one of the musicians who was the guitarist for one of the bands I was part of, he introduced me to Moody Moods for Love by George Benson. Definitely cannot sing that at Robert's, so that's why I never sang it at Robert's. But it was actually originally written for a saxophone, and then he had put in words to it. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous jazz piece because it's all over the place, notes everywhere. And it's also a conversation within the song already. So I love that. And my dad loves jazz. Didn't realize I like jazz. And he's like, oh, you like jazz. Here's some more jazz songs that you could put in your rap. And so then I started doing a lot of jazz gigs. Met a lot of jazz musicians and started falling in love with jazz. But again, everything was by ear. Still didn't know how to read. YouTube was my best friend. And then at 15, after finishing my 10th grade, which is in India, you have your 10th grade and your 12th grade, which is the most important years as a student, because you have to take an exam that's that qualify. If you fail it, you don't qualify. I mean, generally it's like that, but it you it, the exam is for the whole country. It's very important, and if it's honestly a little scary, and they take it very seriously in India. So, as a gift for getting through and getting good grades, my grandparents gifted me a flight ticket to come to the United States after we went through the visa process. Because you actually have to buy your flight tickets before you get your visa. So that was interesting. But and my dad had actually been to the United States before, so it was kind of easy for us to get it because he followed the rules. He didn't have any issues because it is hard to get a visa to come here. And so that happened, and I came to the United States for the first time. I remember flying over New York City and seeing the Statue of Liberty and having Jay-Z's New York. Well, no, was it Alicia Keys? One of the New York.
Yeah, Empire State of
Empire State
Mind,
of
right?
Mind. Yes. Had the.
Welcome to New
Yes.
York.
Oh, love that song. It's like the it was playing as I was like, oh, such it's like the moment. I was like, I'm living the American dream. I actually never went to New York City that year, so but still I got to
But you
flow
flew
over it.
over it.
And I ended up in Syracuse because my grandparents are citizens of the United States. I got to stay with them, and the 2 months there I was getting to learn the customs here, which the only I think the thing I took back was in America just has more vending machines than India does, and I think now we're more we have more too, but that was the only difference because I was expecting to be like, oh, I'm from a third world country, what's the difference gonna be? No, it was just vending machines.
That's
I'm
funny.
sure there are others too, but that was just my
That's so funny.
sorry.
That's so funny. Son, that son, I just there is so much here. I want you to get back to your story.
Yes.
But I mean that what was it? What were you missing? What was it about the vending machines that really caught your attention, if I could ask?
Why that cut? Well, I wasn't even thinking too much about it until someone asked me. It was because I was 15 and I was with a youth group from the church that my grandfather was a priest at, and the one of the kids at or one of the because they were learning about India at that time. They're like, oh yeah, you come from a third world country, like how bad is it? I'm like, it's I at that point I was like, it's not that bad, it's just I and that's when it got, because I was thinking, what difference? I mean, again, I grew up, I live in the city, so we're quite advanced in Chennai. So, and that's why I was like, oh, okay, maybe there's just more vending machines, which there were everywhere I went. That like there was a vending machine, and it's like, oh, cool, you don't get to do that in India, because I'm sure. I don't know if that was like.
No. I think this is great. I mean, like, right. So most of the time, I just want to cue our audience and in, like, because you're telling us a story. You're taking us on this,
Yeah.
you know, excursion. We're not visible, like Adam and I are not. But I brought us back on at the perfect moment while Adam was laughing about you talking about vending machines. And so, like. If you're not watching us on YouTube, you should, because you're gonna see that moment. But I think though, like to me, and we've had these type of conversations before, that you know our understanding of other places, maybe even in the USA, because maybe we've never been out of our city or our little town, is so skewed, is so you know biased, and so. Yeah, I mean there are poor people everywhere. There are bad places and good places everywhere. And so like I think I'm hearing what you're not saying and what you are saying about there being vending machines as the biggest difference. So, but that's I mean, but great. We don't know. Like we don't know what we don't know about India, right?
And there, I honestly, there's things that this is something I've learned leaving my country. I'm learning more about my country having left it, if that
Wow.
makes sense.
Okay.
I, for
Yes.
example, I just recently learned that my language, Tamil, is the one of the oldest languages, older than Latin, and is one is it's and it's still spoken. So
That makes
I
sense.
was quite I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Europe, Europe as an idea is very young. Mm-hmm. It's very, very young. So, but yeah, so much. Like India, yes, I imagine India, China, those cultures in their way that they, their culture is much more intact than, other places. But let's get back. So I took a detour, which was a great detour. That was a great, great, great aside. But you're in the USA.
In the United States.
You know, for the first time. Yeah. And take us.
So, all I did was hang out with a lot of people from church. I sang at their, in their backyards. We did a lot of those fun stuff. And, at the same time, well, I didn't know this, but there were people who were sponsoring me to do a jazz workshop, a jazz summit at Berklee College of Music. Because they sponsored it, because I was able to go and take that opportunity. And during that time too, I auditioned, which I didn't even know it was an audition for it. My dad was like, "Oh, just do it." I'm like, "Okay," to do a master class with Jane Monheit, who is a Grammy Award jazz singer, and I won that opportunity, which was amazing and fun, and I was excited. This is where there was a big cultural difference, was when I went to Berklee, and it was the first time I was not with anyone I knew from home. And I think it was a little scary, especially because Boston is an interesting place. And I'm from a city in India, but cities in the United States are different. And that's fine. Like, homeless people say things that you never knew they would say. And you're just like, okay, yay. Wonderful, yay America. And also this was the difference that came in speaking of Starbucks. I went to go, because we didn't have Starbucks in India at that time. So I've heard of Starbucks, and I was like, oh, and there's a Starbucks right opposite the dormitory. So I went in there, and the wait was late. The layout of it was all the sugar and creamer and all that fun stuff was on the other side. And they don't tell you that, because apparently if you're cool, you'll just know it. And so I came in, and I'm used to just saying, can I order a cup of coffee? And just order a cup of coffee, because in India, it just comes with milk and sugar. You can't ask for black coffee in India. It just comes with milk and sugar. So I went in, I'm like, can I have a cup of coffee? And it was, you know, I'm trying to be cheap too. And I asked for the grande. I didn't even know how to say it. I think I was like, okay, Ariana Grande. And so then I ordered cup of coffee, and it was really hot, so I thought there was cream and sugar in it, and I didn't drink it until we went back to our because I went with the roommate and sat down and I drank it, and it was bitter, and I was like, this is just black coffee, oh Lord. And then she was like, yeah, the stuff was behind. I'm like, why did they say that? And then I learned that I also like black coffee, so I just dealt with it. Not bad, it's good.
So it was actually a good thing.
It was good. It was good. Well, that was my first time ordering at Starbucks. And and I got to meet a lot of musicians at Berklee, because it's a big place for musicians. And there were things that I enjoyed, which was absolutely my teacher, Peter Aldridge, who is the bass singer with the New York Voices. He taught me so much in just that in a week. And I remember and our class, I don't know if our class was like a selector class, because there were two jazz classes. There was one that was just a big group of people, and then there was one that was just 10 of us. And I remember every time I sang, everyone was,
that sounds select.
I was like, there were people that I could tell, there were peers that were just a little, this is where I was like, oh, the American movie's playing now. Okay, interesting. Okay, I get it. Little cat fights, it's fine. Not at me. The way it was set up, we would go on, we had to pick pieces and we had to have them ready to sing in front of our peers and then improv on them. And he would critique on how to be more musical with it. And I was like, it's jazz. How musical? So, and I did it and everyone loved it, but he always had something for me to work on, which was perfect because I didn't even think of it that way. And then at one point he invited us to a jazz sit down where him and his buddies were playing as a gig. And then we sat down as singers in circle and then we all took turns to improv. And I didn't know this. When you improv in jazz, it's a conversation. So you're taking what the other person says and then you improv based on that. So if someone says, then you go, you take what they ended with and you add it. And that was something I didn't even know. And I learned that. And it was so much fun. It made it even more fun because it was a conversation, except it's a song. So, and then another thing that he taught me was to put yourself in uncomfortable situations don't back out on an opportunity because you're afraid that it's not going to turn out great.
Mm-hmm.
And to do the masterclass, we had to pick one piece. And that was Cheek to Cheek by Ella Fitzgerald. I did the Cheek to Cheek Ella Fitzgerald version. And that was that's the song I always sing as an opening because it's the easiest. It's the first jazz, one of the first jazz pieces I learned. And I wanted to sing that. And he's like, no, do Moody Moods for Love because it's hard. And I was like, when he did it, when I did it in class, I guess my dad, again, this is where you need to know how to sight read music or at least know what key signatures are because he got it in the higher key. And in Moody Moods for Love, you were actually switching from being a male to a female. So it got really, so I actually freaked out when I sang it in class because I'm like, this is not the key. And I didn't know how to sing it. And I did something. And it wasn't like my greatest performance and that you can get bogged down by that. And so I didn't want to do it at the masterclass. And he's like, no, you need to do it. And he pushed me to do it. And I did it. And this is also where relying on your instincts come in hand because I switched it. Then I made it so that I was a female starting it and there was a male that took it over at the end. But if he hadn't pushed me to do that, I wouldn't have done that. I would have just stuck with Cheek to Cheek. But this is where I learned it's okay to put to just be outside of your comfort zone and just do it. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much from being there. One that I also am, I am religious and the culture being religious in a secular setting was a little hard, especially because I was raised throughout my life to be I went to Christian schools. So it was a little hard for me to be at that age too. So that kind of left me with a little bit of a sour taste. Jam sessions with musicians from all over the world. That was so, so magical. And so there were positives and I learned, and that's also, that's when I learned colleges in America support music for the most part. And so then I went back to India and I got a scholarship from there. They awarded, I didn't know they were doing this, but I guess they were evaluating us. And I got a scholarship at the end for, I don't even, there was the whole thing for it, which was very nice. That was very nice with them. And, And
Sandra, can I ask you a question? I know, cause I know I have, we've talked about some of this and you shared some of this story in less detail before. The question that keeps coming to my mind is how did you stay so humble? To me, it sounds like you had a lot of success, even before, before you came to America the first time, you were having great success in India. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think, especially in America, if I had success like that, I probably wouldn't be the same person, honestly.
I know. I don't know. I have to be careful because I think sometimes I've taken it to the extreme where I put myself down. And I know, and especially Adam can speak on that because I think I become, sometimes I get too apologetic for.
You think?
And I actually recently remembered one of the things that my mom had told me, and this is when I think I might have had a big head, when I was young, and I was getting all these successes with music, and I did not want to sing with this youth group because I was like, do they know me? Do I want to? And my mother told me, Sandra, if that is your attitude, you're not going to do music. So I think that kind of like put a little dent on the idea, and I'm like, oh yeah, she's probably right. Like, I'm not, you know, I shouldn't be thinking that I'm this great musician. And this is another thing. When my parents say something, I was a goody two shoes child, unfortunately. And so I would listen, and sometimes to an extreme, even though my mom doesn't say it anymore, and she's like, Sandra, you need to stop putting yourself down. And I'm like, okay, mom. So I think. I'm actually, as I'm still learning, and it's a learning process. I feel like it's going to be a learning process till you die. For any, I mean, it's in everything that you can be humble in. And one, I and we've all talked about this too, is finding your identity. And I think I pray that my identity is in Christ always, because it's something else that my mother would say is, God could take your voice anytime now. Will you still be happy? Will you still feel like you can survive in this world? And that's always in the back, you know, the back of my mind. Like, this is not the main, this is my music, singing is not my main goal. I absolutely enjoy it, but it's not my identity, or music in that sense. So I think that helps. And then also learning that again, it's all the things that I've done. I really hope it brings glory to God, even if it's secular or, you know, if it's sacred. I feel like everything is a message, even if you do opera, which happy World Opera Day, by the way. So I guess that's helped me. I don't know. I sometimes don't even know. I'm grateful for the opportunities that I've gotten, and I'm excited for the ones to come. And I hope through everything I've gotten that it also inspires other people that they can do it. It's my biggest philosophy that everyone can do music, everyone can sing. It doesn't matter if it sounds good or not. I mean, we would like for it to say, if you want it to sound good, if you want to get on stage and you want it to sound amazing, there's training behind it, but that shouldn't be the reason to stop someone from singing or learning an instrument. Or learning how to, honestly, even learning how to sight read, that in itself is I think is a musical talent. So, even if you can't sing it right. So yeah, I hope that kind of answers that question.
No, it does. It does. I just like something, two things. I know. I guess I'll just say one thing to what you were saying about reading music, right? I grew up, you know, in a musical tradition where that was not the thing either. So like, you know, and there were some great musicians, and it really was until recently that I had better language on how to explain that experience, because there are musicians who will never no key signature, or never can never say to you, I'm singing or playing in B flat or E flat. You know, they will never be able to say that, but they can definitely play in the key if you play it. You know, they can play all over that key and play around it. And what it was, again, the language that I realized is literacy, right? That you can be able to speak a language and not be able to read it. You know, you can be able to really use it well, but not have a, I would say, have an area where an area of maybe weakness is the word, because you know, as Dr. Barter said, I remember this, you know, what in aural skills, seeing is hearing and hearing is seeing, right? That two-way conversation, like to be able to look at a piece of music and, you know, and sing it on solfege, or hear it in your head, or be able to hear a piece of music and then dictate it. Yeah, it's just that literacy part that you're talking about. But the, I mean, a lot of people can read, you know, read a piece of sheet music, but cannot, you know, can, you know, have a hard time staying in a key if they're not, you know, if they're not, you know, attached to some type of music. And so it's, you know, it's the both that we want. Mm. Like we want it to be in, ingrained in our ear and also be able to access the book.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sandra, picking up, you went back to India after this amazing few months in the US, including the Jazz Summit at Berkeley. What happened next?
I wanted to finish off my 11th and 12th grade so that I could, you know, audition and go to, come to the United States, because at that point I knew I had to come to the US. And because in India they don't support music. I feel like that's changing from what I'm hearing, which makes me really happy. But I kid you not that half the teachers if not all, except for maybe one or two, like, except for two, actually, were not supportive of me choosing a career in music. In fact, one of my classes, I had to stand up the whole period because I had opened for a concert at a radio, something. And something big. So I couldn't go to school the day before. And she got so mad and she started lecturing me on how, Sandra, music is not a career. You're not going to make any money from it. During the whole class of history, we could have learned something on that day, but no. We had to learn that music is not a career. Mm. And something that my mom has taught me, and you get used to this being in the Indian culture, you take it in one ear and you let it out in the other. So just don't get mad about it. Don't get bogged down by it. So I got used to that. In fact, during the process of, you know, finishing up my 11th and 12th, which in India, you kind of pick your college courses. I know they have something called AP classes here, but it's not like that. It's more you actually choose your career in your 11th and 12th. In fact, some states in India, you graduate in 10th grade and then you go to college, 11th and 12th. Mm-hmm. And I thought I chose the easiest subject by choosing home science and child psychology, and I was very wrong. I did learn how to cook a lot though, and how to, take care of a child, which is fun. Two things.
I'm sorry. This is an element of your story I have never heard before. So you chose the, be politically incorrect, but you chose the homemaker curriculum.
Because I was I thought that would be the easy subject. So I could take care of, you know, I could do my music class. Because I still had the courses at Berkeley to do, you know, I still had the courses at Berkeley. So
dual studies.
I could do, yeah. So it was more than that. I had to make toys. I had to write reviews on books for children. I had to learn the dietary plan of a mother who's pregnant, lactating, and after she gives birth. And I had to memorize numbers. I had to create 3-course meals. I had to make meal plans because I was learning how to be, the plus of going into this.
Mother does this.
I just want to point out for our audience, any single man with an American passport in our audience,
yes.
Sandra, I knew you were going to do that. All of these I should have bet you that one.
I'm just going to say though that. Dr. Potter, Sandra's former teacher, requires that you pass the American citizenship test before he will approve of you to date Sandra.
You have to have American citizenship. Yes.
I feel like in India we do arranged marriages, but learning since I've come to the United States, I'm not going to escape that because almost everyone's been trying to find me someone, including.
Right. Come on, I tell you, yes, it's a thing here. It's unofficially a thing. Everybody has somebody in mind for you, Sandra. Everybody.
I don't have anyone in mind for you, Sandra. I just insist that whoever dates you have a usefulness called American citizenship.
This is a I saw again. You're gonna want to watch this episode. There's so much going on right now. I'm not even gonna fill you in on this detail that Adam keeps hammering, but it is an inside joke. It is a big inside joke, and I mean, Sandra, like, we gotta have you back because we're not gonna get like this. Nope. Like, you should tell a story. Like, you gotta make.
Oh my gosh, we're at 40 minutes. I just looked at my.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're gonna make a movie because like when you get big, yes. And again, like, yes. Adam and I, like, we're gonna join you, whatever you're doing, like, whenever, mm-hmm. wherever you're touring. Like, we're gonna go with you. I don't know whatever you want me to do. You know,
I'm the bodyguard.
You're the bodyguard. Okay, well then I don't. You know, I will iron your clothes or whatever. I don't. I will take care of your baby. That's what I'll do because I know how to do that. I know how to change diapers.
That'll make my mother happy because I literally told her today. I was like, because she's talking. Because now in India, this is the time that girls tend to get married when they're 23, 24. Mm-hmm. And that was at kind of age that my mom got married, and she's like, none of my children, because my brother's 29 and hasn't gotten her grandchildren. That's her. It's not even married. It's like grandchildren. And my mom's like, right. I'm not gonna get any. I'm like, yes. Ma, you're not gonna get any grandchildren until I'm 35. And she's like, huh? She's like, I'm like, there's a lot that goes into children.
Right.
I'm a child. I mean, I'm not, but I still kind of a child. So, at least I'll help make my mom happy knowing that something.
I mean, Sandra, it is like, I mean, I want to, there's so much. We could talk for 2 hours. We could talk for 3 hours. But we're not Joe Rogan. Although, you know, we're not. We done. I know, but I wouldn't want to sit. No, I mean, I wouldn't want to record for 3 hours.
We're not, Joe. For many reasons.
Many other reasons.
Including that we don't go on for hours on end.
But something I do want to ask you about, though, the conducting, like that part of your story. And I mean, I'm skipping you got to Roberts.
Yeah,
I don't think we got to come back.
Okay,
we got to come back.
Okay, I'm gonna propose that I'm quite serious about this, actually.
Okay, all right.
I'm gonna propose that we get to Sandra returning to the United States in her story.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna propose that we connect with Sandra another time this month and release 2 Sandra episodes.
Wow.
In Sandra, the month of November. What do you think?
November. Let's do it. We got to do
Sandra,
it.
Are you on board with that plan?
I'm on board.
Okay, so Sandra, we want to hear... Okay, so you learned how to be a homemaker.
I did.
Okay, and then... What? Okay, so... How did you get back to the United States, and what was that process of? You just tell us the story of returning to the U.S. and ultimately deciding to move to Rochester of all places.
Okay. I'm gonna skip a lot of things. There's so much.
No,
that
no,
happened.
Don't skip.
Oh, don't skip.
We've got time. We can skip final segments if we have to.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Return to the United States. No, India, not United States. Return to India. Finished 11th and 12th grade, took a gap year because we end our school later than America does, and doing auditions, it's just too complicated. Took a gap year, came to the U.S. in 2017, auditioned at Berklee, actually came to India, so I did audition in India, the Berklee College of Music, auditioned at Syracuse University for jazz. My grandparents at the same time decided they wanted to leave America and go to India for good. So they, you know, left the apartment. So I didn't have a place to stay. So I stayed with family friends from the church. They helped me with my Syracuse audition, all the blah, blah, blah. There was some in-between stuff, which y'all know, but that's a whole different story. So...
Fill us in. Do you fill in some of the details? I'm sorry. I'm making you rush now. Sorry.
You're good.
Take your time.
I was staying in a place that wasn't safe for me, so they actually technically rescued me from a situation, and that's how I ended up staying at their house. And because of that, as gratitude, and they actually really forced. In fact, I think that was a God moment because I did not want to audition at Roberts because who's heard of Roberts? No offense to Roberts, but I've never heard of Roberts. And they didn't have a jazz they didn't have a jazz major. They had a jazz minor and something called classical. And I laughed because I'm like, I've never done that before. But they wanted me to do it. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it.
So they being, just for our audience, yes, they being your Syracuse family,
my Syracuse
who
family.
Took you in from that unsafe situation you were in.
And
they had a connection with Roberts because their daughter?
Niece
had come niece to Roberts. Went to,
And studied with Professor B. And then I, again, had no idea of how to sing. So I listened to The Call by Vaughan Williams and Sieben Krudelle. And sometimes I feel like a motherless child only because I knew a jazz version of it. And then I learned a spiritual version of it. YouTube. I was like half just this way all the time, listening to it, practicing. Didn't even have sheet music for it. Oh, I did get it because I had to show it to Professor Runyon and
the pianist, your accompanist.
Yes, accompanist for it. Yep. And so I was like, okay, we're doing this. I did this out of wanting to thank them for allowing me to stay there. It was not going to go to Roberts. I came on campus, and I think just something about stepping on campus was a great thing. Also, I am big on numbers and big on shapes, and just I love triangles because it's three, and it also reminds me of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I just love the number three. And the shape of when you look at the clock tower, it's kind of like a triangular shape, and that kind of stuck with me. And I also, Dr. McGee was the first person to greet me. And I was actually, when I looked at his profile, I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to be strict. And I looked at Professor B's profile too, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're being strict. They were so nice. And they were so welcoming. And I remember rehearsing with Professor Runyon, who was the accompanist. And she was like, oh, you should come here. You have a good voice. I'm like, oh, thank you. And I'm like, and I don't know. Then I sang, I did it. And again, not having an idea what I was doing. And Professor Fee actually took a picture of me, and she took a picture of my family. She still has it because I think she somehow knew I was going to come. But this was in November because I had to leave the country because it was expired. You only live 6 months in the United States. So I had to leave. And in that period, when I went back to India and I was deciding, because I got into Berkeley, Syracuse, and obviously Roberts, I was still deciding whether or not, what to do. Again, because of the religious side to, everything, I felt comfortable at Roberts. And I don't actually remember switching to Roberts and wanting to go to Roberts. I really think that was this Holy Spirit moment because every time someone asked me, like, why Roberts? In fact, I remember telling someone, I got into Berkeley with this much of scholarship, and they hugged me. And then I said, but I'm choosing Roberts. And they're like, I'm taking my hug back. I'm like, and then they start asking me questions. Like, I don't, yeah. They didn't know what Roberts, Berkeley's like, Berkeley. And I couldn't remember. I really think God, that was a God moment there, because I ended up at Roberts. And not only, and again, we could talk about this at the next one. But I fell in love with singing classical opera and just the learning, especially I never knew I could sight sing now. And now I feel like I could comfortably say I can sight sing. It's always a learning process, but I remember sitting at my oral skills class and like, oh, this is what it takes. And it was just so many things I learned. And then from that to I could still continue doing jazz and then conducting. That was a little funny because I would not see myself conducting. Even now, sometimes I'm kind of pinching myself, telling myself, I can conduct.
Since you're like making your living as a conductor.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, so that's a performance.
But Sandra, I mean, and maybe we can try to explore more of this the next time, too. Because I think we all share in this a little bit, or I mean, and even all the, you know, people, the people that we knew at Roberts, like Dr. McGee, Professor Fee, Professor Runyon. I mean, we're all deeply spiritual Christian people, I should say. Mm-hmm. But like, we're not like, you know, in our prayer closets, you know, dashing people with holy oil and stuff like that.
You're telling me I can't do that? You're telling me I can't go? I can't use my holy the bottle.
Yeah,
of holy
I said
water.
Holy oil. I don't know.
I think we all should have a bottle of that with us.
We should have a bottle of holy oil.
Anytime it is Halloween.
Sandra uses it on the ghosts.
I do. She do.
We got around to Halloween. We got around to Halloween.
Yes.
If you so yeah, and actually I'm wearing purple and these like this Halloween orange. Why am I saying purple? Orange and green. It was like my high school colors. My high school colors.
I'm trying to picture me with a witch hat.
You have your witch hat. You should pull it out.
I had it.
Okay. Well, we made it to
we did
Sandra. So Sandra, when you said you don't remember really making that decision, but like, when was it obvious to you that you were going to be in Rochester?
Be in Rochester at Roberts, like picking
Roberts? Study.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think a month before I had to, before my visa interview, so I think in June, end of June.
Okay, and then by August, you were in Rochester.
I was in Rochester. I was here. It was
amazing.
It was fun. And Carell. Oh, sorry. I did not. Carell was also a big thing. Carell was family. Oh.
But we'll get there. We're going to talk about your educational journey on the next episode.
We should say that.
And
we should say, because we don't want to rush
about,
that.
We can talk about you and me meeting, because I did not actually meet you at your audition.
No, you weren't there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, we will talk about that on our bonus episode.
Yes, or we could say part two.
Part two?
This is gonna become a Disney documentary. Disney will do documentaries.
Oh.
And you, because I know that's part of your story too. Like, that was kind of like, wasn't that kind of how you learned English or something?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well, I watched a lot of Disney. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we had to do a Disney documentary.
Thank you, Disney Channel.
Do we want to do final segments, or do we want to just pause right here?
Well, I mean, Phil, you're the producer, so I'm going to leave it up to you.
I think at least I did have a story that I wanted to share.
Okay.
So,
Sandra, do you know about our final segments?
Sort of.
You don't have to.
Well, so we always end with like a current events corner where we talk about something that's happening in the news. Or sometimes we're like, nope, the news is too depressing, so I'm going to tell you about what I'm watching on Netflix. So it's whatever, you know, or some little tidbit from our lives. So, you know, can you think about something non-Sandra related?
Non-Sandra related.
I mean, we've spent an hour talking about Sandra.
And it's always
an abrupt change of topic.
Right now,
Phil will go first, so you have a template.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Like I said, I like to say this, as good educators, we want to demonstrate this for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And so my current event today is actually something that was pretty, I think, something that happened maybe last year or earlier in this year, but I was reminded of it, that hearing aids, you can now receive, you can now purchase them over the counter.
Yes.
And one of the things the lady was saying in sharing this, you know, news was a statistic that about 80% of adults, you know, suffer hearing loss, but maybe only 20 of that percent, if I'm remembering the statistic correct, actually use some type of hearing aid. And so this is very cool, especially for us as musicians. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Sandra, where hearing is so important. You know, I thought that was really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. For me, what has been occupying a lot of my, like, the mental space lately are two things. First of all, this is just the escalation of the war in Ukraine. Yeah, like I heard just today from an acquaintance who I met when I was in Russia in February, who is really scared of being drafted into the military to fight, you know, and just so that's very sad. And of course, Putin has started missile attacks on civilian infrastructure. So that's just, oh, what can we say? Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And then I've been thinking about also the midterm elections. We are recording this on October 25th, so we're exactly 2 weeks away from the midterms. And I am just, I'm just so dissatisfied with the state of politics in our country. I'm just so frustrated with both sides of the aisle. I'm just incredibly frustrated with the polarization in our country. I'm just really, ugh. I'm just really, ugh.
It's,
and so, I have not decided who I'm going to vote for in each race yet. But I think what I'm basically going to do is register a protest vote in most cases and vote to send people places. Vote for the underdog in each race, with one exception. If they are election deniers, there is no way I vote for them. I'm sorry, but in the United States of America, I do not want to be in power if I do not want my position in power if it wins fewer votes. Mm-hmm. And anyone who does want that is not American. Mm-hmm. Sandra.
Yes.
What's yours?
Oh, I can't vote, so
You can vote in India, right?
Oh yeah, that's true. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not there. I'm not even going there anytime soon. It was Diwali. Mm-hmm. Technically, it's the last day of Diwali, I think. So it's Diwali, and I miss celebrating Diwali. Actually, was looking around for things to do in Rochester during Diwali, but there really wasn't much going on. I think there's still aspects of COVID. I don't know, at least reopening things, especially doing having celebrations. And there's also, I mean, they did have like the Hindu temple did have something, but I'm not religious. And so I'm not a Hindu. So I couldn't celebrate with that. But on the plus side, I did get to see a lot of my friends in India having fun and bursting crackers. Or as you see, fireworks here, bursting fireworks. And
I was just like, oh, wow, they took some saltines and they burst them.
We call them crackers.
That was my thought. I'm like, I'm seeing some pack of crackers going. Yes.
fireworks. So that was kind of fun. It's kind of nice to see that. On the other side, it's kind of, and maybe y'all could speak on this, but it's kind of weird being in your 20s now, especially being in your 20s after college. And I'm learning to realize that doing things on your own is not bad. Like, and especially, I mean, I don't know if you've been filled in, but I finally have a car now. Yay. And so I could do, explaining the fact that gas is expensive, I can go wherever I want to do everything. But the thing that stops me is like, oh, I don't have anyone to do it with. But you don't need to have someone to do something with. You could always experience things on your own and learning to just...
Sandra, I'm in Rochester.
Do you want to go a hike at 6 in the morning?
Yes. Oh, I love hiking.
You do?
Do you even follow my Instagram?
My Instagram is... It's like it's in and out. It's there and it's not there. So I will follow your
Sandra. I literally plan exotic hiking trips. Okay, you I invest do. Okay, thousands you do. Of dollars in going hiking.
I think both these past two summers, weren't you okay, the both summers you did that. Okay.
My word, Sandra.
Okay, you do. Oh my gosh.
No, I mean, no.
6 a.m. this Friday. I'm kidding.
No, what you know of Adam is like the hard sole bottom shoes that he's always wearing,
yes.
Like, and his baton that he's always yes. carrying around. So like, why would you think he would want to hike? You know,
right.
And his tuning fork. You know, of course, I understand.
Right. Yeah. So, but it, but that's something I've kind of appreciating, learning to just be by yourself and you know, kind of it was kind of nice. Excluding the fact that if there was a snake, I didn't have someone to like push in front of me. But wow. You know, other than that. Oh, and it's also Halloween. It's a week of Halloween. Woot woot woot! Yay, Halloween! Go sacrifice.
We are less than a week out from Halloween. That's true.
So yeah.
Awesome. I mean, this is definitely something we have to talk more about because Adam and I have talked about this, and you know, like I have, you know, I'm in a new phase in my life where I have somebody who is attached to me all the time. You know, like we pay for her not to be attached to us all the time.
Yes.
So I mean, I've transitioned out of that phase in my life into mm-hmm. a totally different phase. But yeah, I mean, we have to talk about this, Sandra and I, and I look forward to hearing and, you know, praying for you as you are making these transitions. Let's quickly get into our last segment. We learned a lot today, Adam. Do you want to go first? Or
I actually no. What was it that I said that I didn't know that
about the home ec.
Yes, about your home, your what do you call it, family sciences,
whatever. Home science and child home. Psychology.
Okay, I did not know that about you. Now, the other aspects of your story, I did know, which is why I wanted you to come on our show, because it's a great story. But yes, I did not realize that. As I've been peddling you to my single guy friends, that I could have been.
She was so qualified.
A trained homemaker.
Yeah, but am I gonna do that? I'm kidding. Don't tell that. Then.
Okay. No. I mean, the thing is, I promise you, like, you know, we are in, you know, it's 2022, as they say, so I'm almost 2023. So you know, what I'm saying, like. You know, what can he fold clothes? That's what you need to be asking. You know, if that's yes. what that's right. That's what you should be. Can he make a, you know, a food meal plan? I know.
Exactly.
He needs to fold clothes. He needs to change
yes.
diapers. He needs to make a meal plan. And
yep.
he needs to have an American passport.
We gotta decide. Are we gonna cue people in on that? I think you should understand. You understand what's going on here. But Sandra, it was so great. We need like I need to get an LLC. Like we need to get a matchmaking LLC or something like that. We can make some money here. Get some people to sign up. And what you do, Sandra? Like you can do Zoom dates like you're doing right now. And we just
think, Phil, if ever like, there has been a time to start our Patreon, we
yes.
can make the top tier of our Patreon giving out Sandra's number.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what we should do. We can give you an exclusive with the Sandra.
All right,
God.
Dear audience, this probably does not make a great deal of sense unless you're connecting several dots.
Right.
So you're just going to have to forgive us and indulge us in our inside joke.
Yes, please do. Is there anything else we should say before we pause?
Well, what did you learn, Phil?
Oh, what did I learn? That was so much. I mean, I think one of the things that I think I knew but like didn't really know the full extent of was just how influential your father was on your music. Because I know, because we haven't even talked about the fact that you played the guitar, you know. It's so, like, and I know that that's something you learned from him and from seeing him. And so, but just seeing how he, you know, how he really was encouraging you every step, I think it was really, it's beautiful. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order, Phil?
No, I think that's it. We'll figure out another time to do this.
Yes. So as soon as, Sandra, as soon as we sign off with our customary sign off, then stay on the air because Phil and I are going to schedule you for part two.
Yes.
Woohoo! Woo-hoo! All right. So, Phil, if there's nothing else for the good of the order, then I will say bye for now.
Adios.